Namaste, my name is Rui Simra. I'm International Meditation Master. Today I want to speak about the best relationships stay connected regardless of what. It is just so. What sets emotionally intelligent couples apart is the ability to stay connected even when disagreements arise. You see this, you see that very often at old couples. They accept the emotions from their partner. If not, they're separated already. You have to learn to accept your own emotions and the emotion of your partner. If not, then make encounter groups. You can scream at me, you can be very angry on me, I don't care. And when I see friends, so pseudo friends, and they want to control my emotions, then I say bye. It's over. I say, you make it one time more, it's finished. I don't want to see you again. I express my emotion as they are. And if you don't like that, then go. Very simple thing. But you cannot stop me. I want to be authentic. Okay? If you work together with other people and you have a chef who doesn't like that, I agree that you have to suppress your feelings. But I have chosen all the time chefs who accepted my, or supervisor, my emotions. And they loved that, no? I'm often more concerned about couples who never fight because avoiding conflict entirely can hide unresolved hurts. After all, the closer you are, the more likely ruptures are to happen, and how you handle them matters. I've seen it again and again. Oh, we have made it the first half year, we never had any fights. One month later, they were separated. You can avoid conflicts for a long time, but afterwards, it's finished. Then there comes a big eruption, finish. Here are three things emotionally intelligent couples do differently when they are in conflict. They don't assume the worst about their partner's intent. We've all been there. One sharp comment can seem like an attack on your character. For example, you forget to text back and it is interpreted as not caring. A request for space could be misconstrued as abandonment. When you first in love with a person, then you see every thing very, very big. You misinterpreted, you have tomatoes in front of your eyes. I accept that because I'm the same. Then just go inside, meditate, and let the thing as I am. And say thank you for the next chance to go. Just nothing more. I know that I have tomatoes in front of my eyes and misinterpret the situation. Okay, I accept that. Instead of assuming the worst, the most emotionally intelligent couples will ask questions like, can you help me understand what was happening for you? You're waiting, waiting, no response. I can ask, no? What did you hear me say? Okay, we have all these problems and I'm together with a tie for sure. Misunderstanding is a norm. It's always the same thing. What part of this feels hardest? What's been on your mind lately that I haven't asked about? What's something you want more of right now? You ask intelligent questions that you can figure out what is going inside of the other person. And to assume that you understand this guy, assume that you don't understand your partner. Then you ask smarter questions. So I want to see a cave in Thailand, Juch cave, 15, 20 kilometers. No? And the word is Tham. And if I want to do something, it's Tham. Maybe the same thing. Oh? We were discussing the thing a quarter of hour. Then after some time, I realized, oh, there's Tham and Tham. Okay, get it out. No? The strongest, most emotionally intelligent couples didn't see who their partner is becoming, not who they want them to be or who they once were. Let your partner develop in his or her direction and don't focus that he become what you want. They take responsibility for their emotions and plan how to regulate them together. Emotionally intelligent couples don't expect their partner to fix their feelings, but they also don't shut each other out. A partner's presence can help them stay regulated and connected even in anger or frustration. Pausing during conflict is one of the hardest skills. It's hardest when you are triggered and least able to assess your tools. I often encourage couples to plan ahead with a clean pause script, like I need 20 minutes so I don't say something I regret, I come back. I say all the time, no, I cannot think. I'm overwhelmed from my emotions and I cannot think. I cannot think, we have to stop the whole thing. And the people understand this. I'm an emotional guy and if I'm overwhelmed from my emotion, I cannot think logically anymore, if it's getting so worse. So then I pause, and all people accept that. They stay curious even during major conflicts. When people feel threatened, the brain loves shortcuts. Emotionally intelligent couples slow this process down and become, in effect, investigators of each other's inner world. Everybody is changing. And if you assume your partner wants all the time the cornflakes as breakfast, and just even be happy after 20 years, you assume 100% wrong. What he likes today, tomorrow he doesn't like. And this is also true in the bed. Some position he loves, others not. And so you change. And who he changes. Okay? For sex, you ask the other person. Simple. Is this better for you? Have you so? And so on. You communicate. Because you don't know everything. Even if it was 20 years okay. The next day it's wrong. Curiosity has been associated with greater closeness and intimacy in conversations, especially during moments of disagreement. Part of why curiosity disappears, whether it's 1, 10, or 20 years, is because we start living off our assumptions. We tell ourselves we already know what our partner meant, what they felt and why they did it because the person across from you is so familiar. Stay curious. Believe in one thing. The other thing will not work out. There was this great book, I don't know, from a professor, and he did the same thing. And I taught the same thing. But very funny stories. And so the guy got every day in the morning breakfast the same thing, cornflakes. You are angry on me, you don't like this breakfast anymore. The problem is that once you think you already know the story, you stop learning about your partner's actual experience. Conflict then becomes two competing narratives instead of a shared inquiry into what's really happening, even when you disagree. Well, you don't eat the breakfast anymore. And then he tells, I never liked cornflakes, but I want to make you happy. And so I said, I like cornflakes. And after 20 years, he's fed it up. Okay, thank you that I could speak about this, and bye.